You are listening to a talk by J. Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, April 26, 2015, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or be distributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I'm going to have us consider, I want us to worship through poetry this morning. And we do this, since we do this every morning, I thought we would do it in a different way this morning. It's difficult to think about poetry when it is being dominated by music. Because when we sing a familiar song, we often might be subject to memories that come back. And I have strange memories that come back. I remember singing this song beside Grandma. I remember Mom's rich alto voice. I remember singing this song and trying to be an alto for the first time in my life, almost a man. All of these things have nothing to do with worship. And the other problem with singing poetry is that it keeps going. And you don't have time to stop and think about the words because there's a beat that does not allow you to think. Some people, I'll cite Harold, who's not here, usually sits back there. In some years, he would write down some of the hymns that interested him in the morning, and then he would use those hymn texts for devotions throughout the week. And they can be used in that way. Sometime when I have lots of courage, I want to give a talk on hymns and songs pertaining to heaven, because I think most of my imagery of heaven comes from songs and not scripture. There may be allusions, but I would like to look at that. But by extension, I think much of our theology comes from the songs we sing. It's important that we have theologians, ministers, writers, as well as musicians on the committee that compiles our songs. And they consider every word that we are going to be using because they know these words are going to influence our thinking. Let's look first at all of these are from the Blue Hymnal, number 480. And, well, actually, you have the text on your handout, and it might be best to look at the handout text. Because I find even it's a little hard to appreciate poetry when it's divided line by line by music. And so this will let us see it, let the poem speak to us. I'm beginning with this hymn that's it's known to us. I think we've only sung it twice. And the last time was in 2011, so it's hardly fresh in our mind. This is an English paraphrase of a poem that was originally in Greek. And it's written by Clement of Alexandria, one of the early church fathers. He was born in Athens, where he converted to Christianity. And then he decided, he was an intellectual, and he wanted to study Christianity and Christian thought. There were no universities as such, and so he traveled about going from writer to writer to pick up ideas. And he ended up in Alexandria in Egypt, where there were more Jews than in Jerusalem. If the story about Mary and Joseph fleeing to Egypt is true, they probably went to Alexandria, because that would have been where they would have had likely relatives. Clement was one of the first Christian writers to say there can be art in church. But he said, do not portray pagan gods or bows and arrows or swords or anything of immorality, nothing that will remind us of heathen worship, but portray the dove, the fish, the boat sailing full sail. And through his influence, symbols started coming in, and eventually art opened up. In this poem, and this is the oldest poem in our hymnal for which we know the author. I don't believe David wrote a single poem. So this is really the first poem for whom we know an author. The poem is largely about tender youth, as it suggests, but it also alludes to youths becoming older, and this is going to be one of the themes of the songs I've picked today. And I particularly like the allusion to death in verse 5. Shepherd of tender youth, let's go down to the literal version. Notice that when things are paraphrased into English, some of the bite can be gone. Bridal bit of untamed colts is a rather more powerful than shepherd of tender youth. Nowhere close. Wing of birds that do not go astray. In other words, God's both the bridle and the wing, the sure tiller of ships, and the shepherd of the king's lambs. And then gather your children and so forth. But let's look at what we will sing at the top. Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth through the unknown ways. Christ our triumphant King, we come thy name to sing, and here our children bring to shout thy praise. Thou art our holy Lord, the all-subduing Word, healer of strife. Thou didst thyself abase, that from sin's deep disgrace thou mightest save our race and give us life. Thou art our soul's high priest. Thou hast prepared the feast of holy love. And in our mortal pain none calls on thee in vain. Help. Thou dost not disdain help from above. Ever be thou our guide, our shepherd and our pride, our staff and song. Jesus, thou Christ of God, by thy perennial word lead us where thou hast trod. Make our faith strong. So, now, until we die, sound we thy praises high and joyful sing. Children, amid the throng who to thy church belong, unite and swell the song to Christ our King. Number 480. Next, we'll be looking at 479. This poem is by the English vicar David Mowbray, who was born in 1938. He studied English and theology and then was ordained in the Church of England. In this poetry, each verse deals with a different age in life, and we see it, I think, very clearly when it's typed out. So each verse, first of all, there's our growing years, then our strongest years, our middle years, our older years, our closing years. I like that theme I like it, thinking I'm not in that category, of course. So each of these age groups has its own qualities, its own concerns. Children who are growing both have laughter and quickly dried tears, and it's amusing sometimes as an adult to watch somebody else's children or grandchildren go through that. Lord of our strongest years, I suppose that would be people in their 20s, I'm not sure. They are lovers and pioneers when the whole world is their oyster. Lord of our middle years, courage, even when things don't succeed. Lord of our older years, Lord of our closing years, all of these are drawn together with the refrain, your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. Lord of our growing years, with us from infancy, laughter and quick-dried tears, freshness and energy, your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. Lord of our strongest years, stretching our youthful powers, lovers, pioneers, when all the world seems ours, your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. Lord of our middle years, giver of steadfastness, courage that perseveres when there is small success, your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. Lord of our older years, steep though the road may be, rid us of foolish fears. Bring us serenity. Your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. Lord of our closing years, always your promise stands. Hold us when death appears. Hold us safely within your hands. Your grace surrounds us all our days. For all your gifts, we bring our praise. 479. The hymn number 481 talks about God's constant care. We've just heard so many situations in life in that wonderful poetic reading. And God's care is constant regardless of what we face. Glenn Lanier wrote this hymn. It was interesting, the Hymn Society of America held a hymn writing contest, and the Association of Retired Teachers in America decided that they would sponsor a hymn contest, and they wanted the entries to, quote, celebrate the latter years of life and the meaning of aging. And they felt there were not enough hymns in that category. And so the Retired Teachers Association said, we'll put up a prize for it. There was considerable interest. They got 1,200 entries. And of those, this was one of the winners that was then published. The overriding themes in this, in verse 1, we see that God's care is with us, regardless of how old we are, the last line, from infancy to later age. Verse 2 hints at different stages of life, the dreams of youth and memories gathered through the years. I love that phrase, memories gathered. Verse 3 is timeless, reminding us that each day of life is new. It doesn't matter which stage of life we are in. By verse 4, Lanier apparently suddenly remembered who was paying the prize money, and so he decided we better hit the old people. Lord, let not the passing of the years rob us of joy or cause us fears. And those are two common problems as health disintegrates, as we become increasingly not self-sufficient, but dependent on others and see the world close in on us. That can rob us of joy unnecessarily. O God, your constant care and love are shed upon us from above throughout our lives in every stage, from infancy to later age. We thank you, Lord, for dreams of youth, for wisdom leading on to truth, for memories gathered through the years, and faith that grows from joys and tears. All time is yours, O Lord, to give. May we, in all the years we live, find that each day of life is new. A celebration, Lord, with you. Let not the passing of the years rob us of joy or cause us fears. And make our faith, O Lord, hold true, that we may always rest in you. Those of you who are able, please stand and sing 481. Consider number 486. Hugh Thompson Kerr composed this in 1916 for the 50th anniversary of his church where he was pastor, Shadyside Presbyterian in Pittsburgh. Kerr was a Canadian, born in Elora, Ontario, studied at the U of T, wherever that is, and then went to Pittsburgh and studied at the Western Theological Seminary there. And I kind of gathered that he was one of their star students, because then this big church, Sunnyside in Pittsburgh, grabbed him to be their minister, and he stayed there quite a while. He ended up being on the hymnal board for the Presbyterian Church and edited a lot of hymns and wrote quite a few. We have three verses, and they consider three sort of broad times of life, in a sense, past, present, and future, although it's not quite that clear. Verse 1, it begins with a wonderful phrase, God of our life, through all the circling years. So it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in, as the years go around us, through all the circling years, we trust in you. God, verse 2, is addressed to God of the past. As almost in retrospect, we see that our times have been in your hand, and they are in your hand. And verse 3, God of the coming years, through paths unknown, we follow thee. And that's quite the statement. This poem was originally written with Lead Kindly Light. God of our life, through all the encircling years, we trust in thee. That's the melody he had in mind. And so it goes, I like it when the poet had the melody in mind when writing the poetry. I like to think there's a better conjunction of the two art forms. This hymn is something I sang in my youth and never really paid it much attention. Until I meant to look up the date, in the 1990s, I was visiting my parents in Goshen, Indiana. And it happened that Uncle Carl Kreider was giving what turned out to be his last sermon ever. And it was sort of a retrospective. And in the course of that, he concluded with this hymn. And he said, this hymn sustained him at many times in his life. And it was one of his favorite hymns. Ever since, I have paid attention to it. I wrote in my hymnal, Uncle Carl's favorite. So that every time I see it, I'm reminded. It suggests to us that if we have a favorite hymn, share the idea with someone else, and then they may pay special attention to that poem or that hymn. It may just suddenly get their attention in a new way. It doesn't all have to be internalized here. God of our life, through all the encircling years, we trust in thee. In all the past, through all our hopes and fears, thy hand we see. With each new day, when morning lifts the veil, we own thy mercies, Lord, which never fail. God of the past, our times are in thy hand. With us abide. Lead us by faith to hope's true promised land. Be thou our guide. With thee to bless, the darkness shines as light, and faith's fair vision changes into sight. Recalling Paul, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. God of the coming years, through paths unknown, we follow thee. When we are strong, Lord, leave us not alone. Our refuge be. Be thou for us in life our daily bread, our heart's true home when all our years have sped. It's unusual in that last verse to ask that God be our refuge when we are at our very strongest. It reminds us that we too often think we're self-sufficient. Number 486. Hymn 485, the text comes from Isaac Watts. His contemporaries knew him as a very strong-willed, opinionated man. His vision of himself was one of someone who was very frail and vulnerable, very weak, particularly when he frequently compared himself to God. In fact, Isaac Watts was often ill, and he did not live all that long. He was a nonconformist, so he was not part of the Church of England, absolutely brilliant, and wrote most of his best-known hymns in the span of 2 years. And then he sort of figured he had written enough, he could still write if he wanted, and for the rest of his life, he turned to producing about 60 books on philosophy, theology, whatever came to mind. So he was truly quite brilliant. The original title for this poem was The Vanity of Man as Mortal. Nice, cheery title. I've shown how this lines up in your handout. What he's doing is paraphrasing Psalm 39 or certain verses from it. And he sets it in common meter 8686 with the customary rhyme scheme ABAB. As he takes this psalm, it's fun both to compare the psalm with what he's saying and to enjoy just the strength of the poetry of Watts. Teach me the measure of my days, thou maker of my frame. I would survey life's narrow space and learn how frail I am. And of course, we sing this loudly with lots of robust energy. A span is all that we can boast, an inch or two of time. We are but vanity and dust in all our flower and prime. See the vain race of mortals move like shadows o'er the plain. They rage and strive, desire and love, but all noise is vain. And the verse that is left out of our hymn. Some walk in honor's gaudy show, some dig for golden ore. They toil for heirs they know not who, and straight are seen no more. What should I wish or wait for then from creatures, earth, and dust? They make our expectations vain and disappoint our trust. Now I forbid my carnal hope, my fond desires recall. I give my mortal interest up and make my God my all. Number 485. Next hymn, number 483. The poem is by Carl Daw, an Episcopal priest who's 2 years younger than I am, so he's quite young. He got a PhD in English and then taught for 8 years and then decided to enter seminary and moved into a combination of theology and English poetry and has become one of the preeminent hymn writers, text writers of our generation. He was the executive director of the Hymn Society of the U.S. and Canada, and I enjoyed hearing him give a talk at UBC when the society met here in the 90s. This poem draws nicely on imagery used in Hebrew scriptures. The very first words in verse 1 recall a new creation, O God who gives us life and breath. And then I like the two kinds of births, line 2 and line 4, who shapes us in the womb from which we will be born, and then leads us in the tomb from which we will, whatever, rise or ascend. Verse 2 recalls being called out. Abraham's imagery and wandering, another imagery from Exodus. And verse 3, the Old Testament imagery becomes concrete as we hear words covenant and law, cloud and flame, and mighty deeds. Now, I've typed this poem in a certain way so that you can see its unusual structure. The first 4 lines of each verse address God and give qualities about God or talk about what God has done. And then The last four lines of every verse are a prayer to this God who has done these things. And so we're constantly going from sort of acknowledging and adoring our God to then praying specifically about those things to our God. I remember when Point Grey discovered this hymn in 1994. Cheryl Pauls was at the piano and she happened to hit the tempo just right, which was unusual for her. It was usually a bat out of hell. And we had a visitor, I wish I know who, but it was some tall guy with a voice you can only envy and covet. He was a bass's bass. And it turns out that my bass voice was in good shape that morning, as was Henry Hildebrandt's and John Friesen's and Peter Neudorf's, and all the low notes were there. And we sang this, and it's merciless. I mean, it keeps going right down to low F sharp. And we had a bottom that morning, like you wouldn't believe. And it's one of the few times in church where we stopped singing the hymn and nobody moved. It had been special. And we all knew it. Well, two of the people who were there were Chris Friesen and his wife-to-be Louise. And they were so impressed by this hymn that they used it for their wedding, as did Barb and Bevan later on. This, if used in a wedding, is no fluff. This is the real stuff. O God, who gives us life and breath, who shapes us in the womb, who guards our lives from birth to death, then leads us from the tomb, deliver us from fears that kill the life we have from you. Help us to know your Spirit still is making all things new. O God, who calls your people out to venture and to dare, to plumb the bleak abyss of doubt and find you even there, when we despair in wandering through wastes of empty lies, refresh us with the living spring of hope that never dies. O God of covenant and law, revealed in cloud and flame, your mighty deeds evoke our awe. We dare not speak your name. Yet we, by faith, are drawn to you, and will your people prove, as on our hearts you write anew the covenant of love. Number 483.